It's Thursday, our day for reading from some of the emails you've sent us. We received many complaints about a satire we broadcast last week about Hollywood's approach to marketing the controversial movie The Passion of the Christ.
One of them was from Dan Dunaway of Dillingham, Alaska. "I'm not a member of any church, nor particularly active in my religious practices," he writes. "Nevertheless, whatever they were trying to satirize was lost on me in the exceptionally snide tone of the piece. Were they targeting movie focus groups? The contrast between Mel Gibson's previous movies and this one? Christianity in general? All I get from this is an attempt to mock Jesus and the Christian religion and culture in general."
Benjamin Mays of Grand Rapids, Michigan writes, "It is unfortunate that NPR, which usually promotes respect and understanding for various religions, would not show the same respect to Christianity."
Many listeners were moved by our story on the efforts of a Washington, D.C. couple to adopt a child from Zimbabwe. Mary Ames of Austin, Texas writes that, "First, as an adopted child, and second, as a human being, I have never been more moved than I was to hear the story of Neely, Vita, and Sheepo Tucker. It was beautiful and amazing to hear of the monumental sacrifices that were made by two of the world's most loving and determined people."
A story by Patricia Naimond on new research on childhood obesity and television brought this response from Michael Perry of Tulsa, Oklahoma. "While I agree with the idea that today's youth are becoming obese, I don't agree with society's opinions on how to resolve this problem. When do we as a society, or parents, take responsibility for the problems with our youth? When does a parent learn to say no to their child and explain why a particular food is not good for them? Be a parent, not a facilitator. Your child deserves it."
David Kestenbaum's report on the science of flipping a coin brought this comment from a veteran coin flipper. "For 27 years, Jim Jenkins has refereed high school football games in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He writes that your reporter stated that football fans should not be concerned about the randomness of the coin flip, since referees let the coin hit the ground, which added another element of randomness to the flip. While this is true on artificial turf fields, the vast majority of high school fields are natural grass. As a high school referee trying to be like the big boys on TV, I tried letting the coin hit the grass turf. However, after losing several coins in the grass and having to resort to the captains playing rock, paper, scissors a couple times, I finally went back to catching the coin in the air. Randomness be darned. Besides, after only four games into the season, I was already out $2.25.
Our remembrance of Bart Howard, the composer of Fly Me to the Moon, included a collection of versions of his hit tune by a variety of artists. In addition to expressing their appreciation for our memorial, several listeners wrote to tell us that we left out their favorite rendition. Well, we can't play all of them, but we did find this one from Bobby Womack. Fred Jansen of Long Beach, California, pointed out that this version reached number 16 on the R&B charts in 1968.
You can let us know about our hits and misses by emailing atc@npr.org. Please include where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.